Hey, good morning. I'm just going to ask for a little more house light. If you can give us a little more house in the light in the house. Okay, there we go. Good to see you guys. You having a good morning this morning? Things going all right for you guys? Well, Merry Christmas. I got to tell you, I'm kind of getting in the spirit. I find myself humming some Christmas songs. I find myself, you know, just feeling Christmassy, and lighting the candles is always a wonderful thing, and just kind of feeling that Christmas vibe. Anybody with me out there? You feeling that little Christmassy out there? I'm going to show you a picture to begin our message this morning, and this is actually a prince, a real, true, actual prince, just put out his Christmas photo. Here he is, Prince George, right there. There he is. Prince George is in line to become the King of England after his grandpa and his dad. Eventually, he may well become King of England, and in that case, he'll have no political power whatsoever. But Prince George is in line, and we think about him. We think, wow, he probably, you know, has everything he needs, and he's putting out his own Christmas picture, and probably has everything. But just think for a moment about the actual King of the universe, about the actual Prince of Peace, Jesus Christ. He wasn't putting out cute photos. As a little baby, he was laid in that manger. Just let the beauty of that just wash over you. This is a quote by Philip Yancey. Here's what he says about Jesus in the manger. Listen, he's the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation, an apostle would later write. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. But the few eyewitnesses on Christmas night saw none of that. They saw an infant struggling to work never before used lungs. Could it be true? This Bethlehem story of a creator descending to be born on one small planet? If so, it is a story like no other. Little wonder a choir of angels broke out in spontaneous song, disturbing not only a few shepherds, but the entire universe. Think about the beauty, the amazing beauty that the Son of God is born in this little stable and placed in a manger, giving the message that Jesus is for everyone. Not just the wealthy and powerful, he's for everyone on earth. Paul says that he humbled himself, taking the very appearance of a man. He humbled himself. You know, the shepherds were out there, and the angels broke out into song, and the angels sang this. They sang this: glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men. Why don't you guys just say peace? Isn't that a beautiful word, peace? We lit the peace candle today, and we're talking about peace and what it means to have peace and the peace of God. And thinking about peace, I'm just going to talk about that for a few moments. I want to point out to you in your bulletin, there's a note sheet, and this will be the easiest note sheet you ever have. If you want to, you know, get full points for being in church, feel free to fill out that note sheet. Only three words you got to fill in today, not hard. Maybe four, something like that. And we're going to go ahead and talk about number one. Number one, talking about today, three kinds of peace. Now, I want you to stay with me. Number one, we all understand, I just want to acknowledge this kind of peace, but there is one type of peace in the world is political peace. It means that your nation is not fighting a war. Your nation is at peace. One example of this, quick, easy example of this, in America, December 6th, actually, 1941, America was at peace. The world was at war, but America was at peace. Then December 7th, 1941, you all know what I'm talking about, the Japanese from their aircraft carriers, they went to Pearl Harbor and a surprise attack on the Americans there. The papers came out immediately. All these men had died in that attack. And so the president called together both houses of Congress, and he addressed the nation. This is a little sound clip probably for you right here. And he addressed the nation, and here's what he said.
Yesterday, December 7th, 1941, a date which will live in infamy.
And America was at war. We were at war. We were in a state of war, hostility and not peace. And for all those years of World War II, those long, hard years, America fought that war. First, Germany surrendered, then eventually, the Japanese surrendered. And I'm going to show you a video of what it was like in Times Square when Japan surrendered. Look at the joy and jubilation that peace brings. This is August 14th, 1945. Look at this.
The victory flash electrified Times Square, keyed to the bursting point as the magic word of complete surrender came through. It was the long-awaited moment, and the lid was off. Unparalleled were the scenes as multitudes surged around Miss Liberty, throwing restraint to the winds.
Now, the reason I'm saying that, before you watch all the sailors kiss all the ladies there in Times Square, the reason I'm saying that is because political peace brings this incredible joy. It's great to be at peace and have your nation not be at war. And you might be wondering, Tom, what's this got to do with Christmas? Let me tell you. This is the Advent candle celebrating the coming of Christ, but Christ will come again. Amen. And when he comes back a second time, there will be peace on earth like we've never seen. I'm going to read you from Revelation 19 to see what it looks like when Christ comes back again. And listen, if there's any amen in your body, you better let it out as I read these words. Here we go. John says, I saw heaven standing open, and there before me was a white horse whose rider was called Faithful and True. With justice, he judges and wages war. His eyes like blazing fire, and on his head are many crowns. He has a name written on him that no one knows but himself. He is dressed in a robe dipped in blood. And his name is the Word of God. The armies of heaven were following him, riding on white horses and dressed in fine linen, white and clean. Coming out of his mouth is a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations. And on his robe and on his thigh, he has this name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Amen. Come on, right? Absolutely. And we know that Christ will come back and establish a political peace like we have never seen before. One type of peace is political peace. A second type of peace, we all understand it. Number two is inner peace. It's peace that you have on the inside. Now, I'll tell you, this week on Friday night, I took my beautiful wife on a date. Oh, yeah, I did. Absolutely. Took her on a date. And as I was getting ready to take my wife out on a date, I'm getting ready for that, knew it was coming. And I can tell you, there was no anxiety whatsoever. Not at all. I didn't think she's going to reject me. I didn't think she'd be like, I'm not going out with you, buddy. No way. I was totally at peace. I had full inner peace. We got in the car. Everything was great. Going on a date, humming Christmas songs. It was all good. But I recall the first time I asked my wife on a date, there was no inner peace in that moment. Any chance you might want to go out sometime? Right here, actually, right in this exact spot, right here, I asked my wife on my first date right there at a Christmas show, 1996 or 97 or sometime way back in the past. Anyway, I think it was 96. We were right there. Actually, it was December 7th, interestingly enough. And we were right there. I asked her out. I remember those butterflies in my stomach. Who recalls a first date asking somebody, you know, out on that first date? And here's what she said to me. She said, okay. And then she said this. My number's in the book. Oh, thanks, honey. That was really great, Tracy. That's fantastic. No, I didn't have. We all know the feeling. We all know what it means to have inner turmoil, and we all know what it means to have inner peace. But here's something interesting about Christmas. The Christmas story interwoven in the story is the idea that the coming of Christ brings peace. The angels said, peace on earth. But we also see in the Christmas story, there's this person of Zechariah. Zechariah's wife, Elizabeth, becomes pregnant with John the Baptist. She's Mary's cousin, and Mary becomes pregnant by the Holy Spirit. You'll see that in a few minutes. And she comes to live with Elizabeth. And when John the Baptist is born, his father, Zechariah, speaks a prophecy. It says, filled with the Holy Spirit, he prophesies about his son, John the Baptist. And then the prophecy extends to Jesus. And look what he says, Luke 1:79, that Jesus will shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death. And he will guide our feet, help me out. He will guide our feet into the path of peace. That there's this promise that Jesus will somehow bring inner peace, that the coming of Christ changes things in such a way that my internal state is affected. My inner peace can be realized because Jesus has come in this way as a baby on the earth. Now, maybe you're wondering this question. Is God really concerned about my inner emotional life? Maybe you're wondering. Does God care? Does God really care if I have peace or turmoil on the inside? Doesn't God just want me to obey him and talk about him and follow him and give big tithe checks? Isn't that all God wants? Now, God wants all those things, certainly. But God does care. Maybe you're wondering, does my internal life really matter to God? Because what I feel a lot of time is I feel fear, and I feel uncertainty, and I feel anxiety. Many, many people in this room, if you felt this in the last month, fear, uncertainty, anxiety, just be honest and raise your hand. Just for a second. Yeah, absolutely. Many might say this, I feel worried. I feel frustrated. I feel scared about things of life. I'm irritated. Anybody here in the last week get irritated about something out there? Absolutely. Irritated? A little irritated? We have a few honest people in the room. Fantastic. I feel tense. I feel nervous. I have these things that are happening. And does God really care? Does God care that I'm nervous and worried and frightened? And does God care about my internal state? Is he really in touch with these things? You know, we have a challenge this morning. Let me just be honest with you. We have a challenge. Because I'm going to be talking about Christmas, and I'm going to say some things that maybe you've heard before. And you're going to sit here because you are great people, and you're going to nod your head and say, oh, Pastor Tom, oh, yes, we believe in peace. Oh, yes. But here's the challenge. To let this message actually meet where you truly live and breathe. Not just here in these wonderful seats, but out there in the life that you truly live, let this message and your life come together. Because many of you here still deal with fear, uncertainty, anxiety. You're worried, you're scared, you're frustrated, you're tense, you're nervous. Your internal life matters to God. Let me take you deeper into the Christmas story, because I feel like when we go deeper in, we see a theme that's woven in about fear and about courage and about peace. Look at the theme I'm talking about. We're going to go for a moment to, we're going to go right here to Matthew chapter 1, 18 through 23. Six verses that kind of introduces a character in the story. His name is Joseph. Can you guys say Joseph? And here's what Matthew says to us. Verse 18. This is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged, meaning engaged, to be married to Joseph. Before they came together, that means physically, before they were actually married and came together in an intimate way, before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. I just love this verse, because this verse is just so, it's so matter of fact. It's just kind of like, and Mary went out and fed the camels. You know what I mean? It's a very matter of fact kind of thing. And before they got married, she became pregnant by the Holy Spirit. It's just like it's a normal, everyday kind of thing. Imagine all the anxiety in that moment for Joseph. Imagine what he's feeling. He's engaged to be married to Mary. We know she was a righteous woman, a good woman. That was a strange thing to say about Mary, wasn't it? Ever heard that before? She's a good woman, that Mary, I tell you. But imagine Joseph's internal state. His wife suddenly, who he's engaged to, becomes pregnant. Look what Joseph wanted to do. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. You probably heard this. Joseph had it in his right to have her stoned to death by the Old Testament law, but he didn't do it. He was faithful to the law. He was a good man. So he's just going to say, hey, Mary, we were going to get married, but now you're pregnant, and this is kind of awkward. So I'm just going to divorce you quietly. Divorce here means end the engagement. And then something amazing happened. See the theme woven in here as the verses continue. But after he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit, and she will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. And then a little aside that we're given in verse 22. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said to the prophet Isaiah. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him, say it with me, they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. Quick summary of what we see. Mary is found pregnant through the Holy Spirit. We see that. Number two, Joseph did not want to expose her to public disgrace. He had in mind to divorce her quietly. Joseph is a good man. We see that here. He's a good man. He wants good things and does what the law asks of him. He's a loving man. He's a good man. Then we see this. The angel says, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, because what's conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. Two things about Jesus. Number one, he will save people from their sins. Amen. And number two, we see this. They will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. God in the flesh. God comes down. Our sermon series theme for Christmas is love came down. And that's the idea. Love came down. God came down to live in flesh and blood among us. Let's just focus on this part. The angel said, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife. The angel says, do not be afraid. This is a message I see woven throughout the entire Christmas story. The angel tells Mary, don't be afraid. The angels tell the shepherds, don't be afraid. It's there again and again and again. The Greek word here is a word you probably are familiar with, phobia. Phobo is kind of the Greek word here. Phobia means to fear, to hesitate, to be afraid. And the message is, don't be afraid. Don't have this fear in your life. 93 times that word is used in the New Testament, and here I think is a great example of what we're taught about fear as Christians. 1 Peter 3:14. But even if you should suffer for righteousness, look what it says. You are blessed. And then the last line is so important. All of you, just focus on that last line. Do not fear what they fear or be anxious. What a great teaching. This is a teaching from Peter to Christians, very consistent with the Christmas story. Now focus on what he's saying. Do not fear what they fear. Out in the world, there are normal, natural fears that exist out in the world. Don't fear what they fear. Don't have that fear that the world has. Have peace. Do not be afraid. Do not fear what they fear or be anxious. Let me come home to a point here I really want you to see. Fear and worry just seem like a natural part of life, but for Christians, they should not be. Say amen. Fear and worry seem like a very natural part of life. Hey, I'm fearful. Hey, I'm worried. It seems like a very natural thing, but it just should not be that way because we are not to fear what they fear. We are not to live anxious lives. We are to be people of peace. Now, this week I was thinking a lot about peace, and I came across in my mind and my prayer and my thoughts about peace, I came across what I called the paradox of peace. The paradox of peace is seen by lots of rather famous people. They remark about this, talk about this, but here's how I see it. Peace is something that we all want. For example, how many of you would say you would love to have more inner peace? Just raise your hand. We all want it. We all want peace. We all want to live in peace. We all want to have peace, but it seems like it's so elusive. It seems like having the peace that God promises seems so difficult. There's a paradox of peace in the fact that we want it, we talk about it, but it's so rare that we have it. We sang that song just a few moments ago that included this phrase. This is actually from Henry Wadsworth Longfellow. He wrote this poem on December 1863. Students of history will note that's right in the middle of the Civil War. Right in the middle of the American Civil War, Henry Wadsworth Longfellow writes his words. I heard the bells on Christmas Day, their old familiar carols play, and wild and sweet the words repeat, peace on earth, goodwill towards men. In despair, I bowed my head. There is no peace on earth, I said. But hate is strong and mocks the song of peace on earth, goodwill towards men. You see, we all want peace. Nations want peace. People want peace. But it seems so difficult to live without fear, to live in the peace that God promises. Another famous person who talks about this paradox of peace is Martin Luther King. That's him right there preaching on Christmas Eve, 1967. This is 4 months before his death, before he's assassinated. He preaches a sermon on Christmas Eve in the Ebenezer Baptist Church entitled A Christmas Sermon on Peace. You can look it up. You can see what he says online. Here's the Ebenezer Baptist Church. That's where he stood that day on that Christmas Eve night, and he preached this message. I want you to listen to what Martin Luther King said about this paradox of peace. Here he is right here.
One of the strangest things that all of the great military geniuses of the world have talked about peace. The conquerors of old who came killing in pursuit of peace. Alexander, Julius Caesar, Charlemagne, and Napoleon were akin in seeking a peaceful world order. Do you know, if you will read Mein Kampf close enough, Hitler contended that everything that he did in Germany was for peace. And the leaders of the world today talk eloquently about peace.
Here's what he's saying. Everyone's talking about peace, and people are going to war to have peace. But as we talk about peace, and as we desire peace, it seems like we don't have it. And then Martin Luther King, in this sermon, he comes down to this point, and he says this. What is the problem? They're talking about peace as a distant goal. Oh, stay with me on this. We're talking about peace as a distant goal, as an end that we seek. But one day, we must come to see that peace is not merely a distant goal we seek, and that we must find a means by which to arrive at that goal. When I read that this week, I felt like for so many Christians, this is absolutely true. Because you're going to come in here and hear me talk, sometimes fast and occasionally slowly. You're going to hear me talk about peace, and you're all going to nod your heads. Oh, Pastor Tom, we're with you. We believe God's peace is there. We want to have peace, and here's how you think of it. You look at your life, and you look at the fear, the anxiety, the to-do list, all the things happening for you, and you say, wow, peace is a distant goal. Maybe when I grow spiritually, then I'll have peace. Maybe after the Christmas season, then I'll have peace. And you look at peace, and it seems so far away. Here's the paradox. But you've got to look at this, and you've got to say today, right now, is the peace of God possible in my life? Is the peace of God available in any moment for me to enter in to God's presence and to find peace? Is it available for me now? Is peace of God some distant goal? Is inner peace way far in the future? When my grandkids are all growing and I have financial freedom and things are better, is that when it's going to happen? No, no, no. We must find a means to arrive at that goal, that peace is available right now, today, in this moment. Let's just step back and look what the Bible says about peace. What does the Bible honestly say about peace? Here's my evidence number one. God identifies himself as the God of peace. Look what he says. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. When I come to peace, I want you guys to read it real loudly and enthusiastically. May God himself, the God of
peace,
sanctify you through and through. The God of peace. Here it is again. Hebrews 13:20. May the God of
peace.
Here it is again. Romans 15:13. The God of
peace
be with you all. 1 Corinthians 14:33. For God is not a God of disorder, but of
peace.
We see 9 times God is referred to as the God of peace. And then probably the most compelling evidence of all is in Judges 6:24, where God is identified as Jehovah Shalom. Why don't you guys say Shalom? Now say it like you mean it.
Shalom.
Shalom. It means peace in Hebrew. And God says, my name is peace. It is who I am. I am peace. I am the God of peace, and my name is peace. I am Jehovah Shalom. Now look at this. Just stay with me. Jesus, the Son of God, born and placed in that manger. He grows up, lives a perfect life, and what's he say? Facing the cross, going to his death, he tells his disciples, how many in here are his disciples? Raise your hand. Come on, stay with me. He tells the disciples, peace. I leave with you my peace. Get it? What are we saying? God is the God of peace. His name is Jehovah Shalom. And my peace I give to you. I don't give as the world gives. I don't give it and take it away or give you half of it or give you a little or charge you interest. No, no, no. I don't give as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. Let me show you a new verse on peace. I love this verse. 2 Thessalonians 3:16. Now please stay with me and understand what Paul's saying. He's praying. He says, now may the Lord of peace himself, say himself. Himself, the Lord of peace himself, give you peace at all times and in every way. The Lord be with you all. What an amazing thing. May the Lord of peace himself, Jesus himself, give you peace. John MacArthur actually has a sermon on this verse. I read that sermon this week, and I'm just going to quote John MacArthur and what he says about this idea of this verse. Here's what he says. Paul uses the word himself. He asks, may Jesus Christ, the Lord, personally give you peace because it comes personally from him. It is the very essence of his nature. Now just listen. God is love. We don't argue about that. And God is also peace. That's a spot for an amen. I'll do it again. God is love. We don't argue about that. And God is also peace.
Amen.
He has no lack of perfect peace in his being. Just listen. God is at all times at perfect peace. God is never stressed. God is never anxious. God never worries. God never doubts and God never fears. He's never troubled. He's never indecisive. He's never unclear. He's never unsure. He's never threatened. He lives in perfect calm. God lives in perfect tranquility. God lives in perfect contentment, and his desire is to give it to you, that you would live in that very same peace. Amen. That's God's desire. How many of you guys enjoy that quote? You enjoy that idea. God is peace, and God wants to give you that peace that's available for you right now. Now, you've got this challenge. You've got to connect your real life with this moment right now while I'm talking to you, that you can realize, wow, according to the Bible, according to God's holy word, God's peace is not a distant goal. It's not way off out in the future. God's peace is available right now for me. Let's just hone in on this verse. May the Lord of peace himself, here's what he says, may the Lord of peace himself, Jesus Christ, the Lord of peace, may he give you peace. It's a gift that Jesus said, I'm giving it to you. And we're asking for it again in this moment. Give me peace. And then he says this. At all times and in every way. Look, this is, there's no wiggle room here. You can't wiggle out of it. In all times and in every way. Just focus on that for a second. Now right now in my house at home, there's become this sort of holiday place in my house. I put some lights up outside. How many guys have lights on the outside here? Got some lights out there? It's not necessary, but if you got them, that's good. I got some lights up outside my house and got some spotlights and some, you know, lights on my bushes, and it looks kind of Christmassy. But if you walk in my house and you go in my living room, it is like this little Christmas cave in my living room. There's a tree, there's candles, there's lights everywhere, and my wife and I began doing this very strange thing. We'll go in there at night, and we turn on our TV, and we have this special channel on our TV, and what happens on my TV is a fire. Looks just like this. We'll put the fire up on the TV, and this channel actually plays Christmas music, and we were in there last night, as a matter of fact, and it was the most peaceful thing you can imagine. I'm laying there, actually, this is a little risque for a sermon, I'll tell you the truth. My wife was sitting on the couch, my head was in her lap. Oh yeah, a little risque, it's okay. Hey, we're married, baby, paid for it. Okay, stay with me. Right? So my head's in her lap, she's playing with my hair, the Yule log is playing on TV, candles are lighting, we got music playing. It was the most peaceful thing you can ever imagine. Little Ella walks in. Could I get you a cup of tea, Dad? You know, it's that moment, it's that beautiful, peaceful place. That part was fiction, but just imagine it, right? It's this beautiful, amazing, peaceful place. It was so easy last night to be totally at peace. My wife's playing with my hair, Christmas music, the Yule log. It wasn't even a real fire. Didn't burn myself on the video fire. It was a peaceful place. And he says, in all times, at every way. So in that peaceful moment, it is so easy to have peace. I think back on other moments that have happened. I think back to stressful moments. Last year, I had this really stressful moment on Christmas Eve Eve. Christmas Eve Eve, we had a service last year, again this year, up at Swayze Chapel at Denison. How many of you guys know where that is up there? So I woke up Christmas Eve Eve, and I woke up with this anxiety. I'm not going to lie. Won't say I didn't have it. I woke up with anxiety. And my first thought was, where are people going to park when they go to Swayze Chapel? I came into church. We had a quick meeting. I said, where are they going to park? And everybody said, well, I'm not sure. And I drove up there, and we were working out the whole parking scheme and talking about host team. And I just had this little nagging anxiety all day. I kept praying about it. That day, honestly, I kept receiving God's peace and then having anxiety. And then praying again and having God's peace and having anxiety. I'm fighting off anxiety all day long. And then people start coming to Swayze Chapel, and if you recall, last year it was kind of cold out, and the host team was there. It was kind of exciting, a new thing, and then my phone rings. I pick up my phone. It's my wife. She's coming to the service up there, and I answer the phone, and my wife is totally panicked. She said, Tom, I went to start the car, and when I turn the key in the engine, all I smell is gas, and I feel like it's really dangerous, and I smell gas when I turn the key, and the car won't start, and I don't know what to do, and I'm really scared, and I got the neighbor, and he came over, and he smelled it, and the neighbor said, that's gas. You better watch out. And she's like, I don't know what to do. I don't know what's going to happen. And I'm like, I've got a service starting in 15 minutes, and my wife's going to blow up at home. I imagined her funeral quickly in my head, right? And I had that moment. And I'm like, I don't know what's going to happen. This car's going to cost thousands of dollars. My wife's going to be dead. I got a service starting in 15 minutes. I don't know what to do. This is so stressful. I remember I walked outside to the chapel, and I just prayed. Put my phone back in my pocket. I said, Lord Jesus Christ, I need your peace. Boom, there it was. Peace of God right there. I said, thank you, God. I said, God, I give you my wife. If she's alive or dead when I get home, I give her to you. I give you my home. I give you my kids. I give you everything I have. I'm going to focus on this service, and I'm going to go home and see what happens. And God, I give you everything, but I will walk in your peace. Amen. Here's why I did that. Here's what I believe. I believe it is God's will for you and I to be at peace. Amen. It's God's will. I believe that. I believe it's God's will that we are at peace, and it pleases and glorifies him when you are at peace. Amen. Do you get that? I believe it's God's will. I don't believe it's God's will that I fret and that I'm in anxiety and that I'm nervous and getting ulcers. Not at all. I believe it's God's will that I would be at peace because he is the God of peace and Jesus left me peace. And right here it says that I could be have his peace at all times in every way. It is God's will for you to be at peace. It pleases and glorifies him. So last year, Swayze Chapel, we had almost 700 people show up last year. That was kind of awesome. How about an amen for that? That was awesome. We'll probably have 1,000 this year, so come early. Anyway, we had a big turnout last year. That was awesome. And the whole time we're doing the service, I was totally at peace. It ended. I literally, no lie, the service ended. I'm walking out with my daughter, Elizabeth, and I walk out. I'm like, oh, yeah, Tracy might have blown up at home. Uh-oh. So I called her. She's like, oh, things are fine. I drove home. This is no exaggeration, no lie. Drove home. I walked immediately in the garage. opened the garage door because I didn't want to die of fumes. And I started the car, started up just like that. I said, praise God. Car was totally fine. Not sure why it didn't start. Not sure why it smelled like gas, except the devil is real. That's all I can say, right? And you know what? I said this. I'm going to walk in peace. I'm going to live in peace. But more than that, I want you to have peace. I want you to walk in peace. I want you to believe God's word. Do you? Do you believe it? Can you connect your real life with this moment and say, God's peace is available. It's available. I love saying this phrase. You are one prayer away from the peace of God. I love saying that. You're one prayer away. Now, it might be a really long prayer. You might be wearing out your knees in that prayer, but you are one prayer away to sit down and say, God, I give you all this anxiety. I give you this situation. I give you that situation. I give you all these problems, and I need your peace. You're the God of peace, and you left me your peace, and you live within me, and I need it. Amen. Three kinds of peace. Political peace. Inner peace that we find through the Holy Spirit in Jesus Christ. And last of all, don't miss this, peace in relationships. Or today I'm calling it peace with God. Now I want you to see this. I want you to understand this. You know, in relationships we can have peace or we can have hostility. How many guys right now you have a relationship in your life and there's peace? Just raise your hand. It's a peaceful relationship. How many guys ever in your life since you were born until today, you've had a relationship with hostility? Ever had one of those? Yeah, you know what I'm saying. It's a horrible thing to live in hostility. When I was in college, I lived in a house with 10 guys. I was the RA. I was in charge of the house. And one of my 10 guys I was in charge of, we just butted heads constantly. We were fighting, arguing. I kept saying, I'm the boss. Just do it. We had this friction in our relationship. He hated me saying that, by the way. That's why I kept saying it. Anyway, we had this friction. It was horrible to live in that friction, in that tension. But we also know what it means to live in peace in your relationships. And the Bible says that when Christ came, through Christ, we can have peace in our relationship with God. Let me just show you what the Bible says. Romans chapter 5, here's what it says. Receiving ultimate peace from God. Romans 5, we're going to look at verse 1 and verse 6. Therefore, since we've been justified, say justified. We've been justified through faith. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And then verse 6 explains it. Here's what it says. You see, Paul says, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Now stay with me on this. I'm gonna flush out what Paul's saying in this verse 6. He says, just the right time. So at just the right time, Christ was born for the ungodly. That's Christmas. At just the right time. At just the right exact moment in history. At the exact place prophesied about. At the exact place, exact time, Christ was born for the ungodly. Who in this room would say, you've been ungodly, right? It's for all of us. Christ was born for all of us. And then number 2, he lived a perfect, sinless life. Christ lived in perfection. He never sinned. He never strayed. He was tempted in every way, Hebrews says. Number 3, he died for the ungodly. We know the story. Christ was betrayed by Judas, taken in a false kangaroo court, and they trumped up charges against him, and he was falsely accused, and then he was beaten, and he was taken. They covered his eyes, and they would hit him with sticks and say, tell us, who hit you? Prophesy, who hit you? They mocked him. They put that crown of thorns on his head. He was taken to Golgotha, and he was nailed to a cross, put upright. Christ died for the ungodly. That's what it says. At just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. And then here's the last one, number 4. And he rose again. How about an amen? Amen. And he rose again. And the grave was empty. And our Lord was alive, giving us hope and peace and love and joy. He rose again that we can have life. Here's what it's saying. We can have peace with God. Last night, I closed the service out, which I'm going to in just a moment. And as I closed the service, I said, some of you here need to find peace, internal peace, and some of you need peace with God. A beautiful older woman came up to me as the service was ending. She walked up, and I shook her hand, and I said, what can I do for you? She said, I want to pray with you. I want to pray with you tonight. We went back in this little room back here, and we sat down at a table, and I said, tell me what's happening. She said, I prayed once before for Christ to come into my life. But I was praying that time. I was just praying for what God would do for me. But tonight, I want to pray that Christ comes in, because I don't think he did back then. And I want to pray that Christ comes in because of what I can do for God, that I'm giving all of myself for him. I'm not praying about what God can do for me. I'm praying about giving my whole self to God. How about an amen? We bowed our heads back there. We prayed. She was in tears. It was this amazing moment. Because right then, she was making peace with God. She's saying, God, it's not about what you can do for me, although you can do great things. It's about me giving my whole self to you in total surrender. She made peace with God. Some of you today need to make peace with God. Some of you need to come to that understanding that peace is available right now. God's peace is available in your life. Some of you, today is a day to make peace with God and begin a relationship with him. I'm going to end with one last story. This is an absolute true story. I'm not exaggerating any details. It's actually about a dream that I had. Some years ago, I think it was in 2008, I went to sleep and I had this dream. Very clear in my mind, this dream. Fell asleep that night, and in the dream, I was with my wife, Tracy. We were actually going to a prison to do a devotion at a prison, and I had a Bible. Actually, it was this Bible right here I had in the dream with me. And Tracy and I, we drive up to this prison. We get out. I got the Bible. I got my wife's hand, and we go in this prison. It looks just like a prison. We get processed in, and we walk in the prison, and I look down on this side, and it looks just like a prison. There's walls and bars and tables that go on and on and on. I know what a prison looks like, believe me. I looked on this side, there's tables and bars, and there's all these people, multitudes of people. And some of them, the first ones I see have prisoner garb on, they've got their prisoner uniforms on, and we're talking to them. I got my Bible, and we're talking to them. And all of a sudden, I see normally dressed people, not prisoners, not dressed like prisoners, there's normally dressed people. And all of a sudden, right there in my dream, in this prison, there's my three daughters right there in the prison. And I was shocked. I looked at my three daughters, and at this point, 2008, my daughter Ella was real little. She's about 6 years old. And I said, girls, what are you doing in this prison? And Ella looked shocked in my dream. And she said, Daddy, this isn't a prison. This is the world. And in that moment, I woke up. And I had this immediate understanding that living in the world, living without Christ, is a prison. Right? Amen? And I also had the understanding that some Christians are still in that prison. Some Christians have Christ and they have made peace with God, but they still live in that prison of anxiety. They still live in that prison of fear. And maybe today's a day for you to say, you know what, in faith, I'm going to get up out of my seat. I'm going to walk to the altar here at Christmas time. I'm going to kneel down and say, God, I need a breakthrough into your peace. I want to encourage you, be bold. Don't have fear and anxiety. Be bold. Get up. Walk forward. Kneel down and pray and say, God, I need a breakthrough of peace. Let's just bow our heads. I'm going to pray for you. Before I pray, does somebody ask you, just raise your hand. Nobody's looking at you. Who would say today, I'm going to raise my hand. Don't worry. Who would say here that you would like to have more of God's peace in your life? Just raise your hand. I want more of God's peace. I just want to encourage you. All of you, hands up, not hands not up, to come to the altar this morning. I know it's a long way up here. I know you're wondering, who's going to look at me? I don't care. Walk on up and kneel and say, God, I need a breakthrough into your peace today. I'm going to pray. Father God, I thank you for all those who are here right now. I thank you, God, for this message woven into the Christmas story. Do not be afraid. Don't have fear. Have peace. I think of that verse in 1 Peter that said, do not fear what they fear. Do not be anxious. God, I thank you that Jesus said that he left his peace for us. He gave us his peace. And Father God, I pray we can live in your perfect peace. God, I pray every person here acknowledging this right now would just have that little act of faith, nothing magical about the altar, but they'd have that act of faith that says, I'm going to walk up there, I'm going to kneel down, I'm going to pray for that breakthrough of peace today. God, work in this room in a powerful, powerful way. In your name I pray. Amen. So if you would, just stand. We're just going to have a quiet moment. If you want to come to the altar, come on up right now. Don't be afraid. Don't be shy. Just come on up and kneel and pray. We're just going to take a quiet moment just to reflect. But come on. Come on and pray.
I will believe.
So how many of you guys were blessed today just to be in God's house and to worship Him and just have that blessing of being here with Him? Amen. Hey, just to let you know, we have a special gift for you. If you're a first-time guest with us, go back to the information area. Center. Go back and see Pastor Coley back there. Get one of those bags. Also want to let you know we've got a healing prayer team back there as well. They want to pray with you for anything you need prayer for. Go back, especially relating to physical healing, but go back. They want to pray for you. Want to remind you guys also, we have this little booklet of just each day. There's a devotion in here to read, study. I've had many people tell me what a blessing it is to have this devotion. Just want to remind you about that as well. Let me just pray, and we'll close out our service today. Father, we thank you. We praise you, God. We thank you for this time to draw together as a family and talk about Christmas, talk about your peace, talk about Jesus Christ, your Son. Father, I pray as we walk out today, we can walk out with the knowledge that your peace is available to us at any time and any place. As the Apostle Paul says, in every way, we would know that we have your peace. And God, we walk out now victorious in you. Because of nothing that we've done, only because we have received the gift that your Son gave to us. We thank you and praise you today. In your name we pray and all say, amen. Amen. Hey, you guys are awesome. Have a great day. I'll see you next week talking about joy and talking about Mary. Come on back next week.